Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. When people think and talk about artificial intelligence today, most think of ChatGPT. Images created out of almost nothing, smart assistants on their smartphones, having texts, emails, messages reworked. That is, and I myself, I cannot get out of this as well. I mean, very often when I think about artificial intelligence, I think that's ChatGPT. That's all of our artificial intelligence, which is wrong. And AI has long been found always into cars in totally different shapes than ChatGPT. I mean, some OEMs want to integrate that and do that. But AI is far more than ChatGPT. Very often invisible, very often ubiquitous. It manages in-car's driver assistance system. It decides on energy flows, the way electric drivetrains work. It adapts infotainment to our habits. All these are either implemented applications of AI in cars, or they are planned. As someone who has spent years and years of exploring the relationship between humans and machines, between humans and technologies, specifically in vehicles, I see clearly any discussion about the future of mobility can only be held including AI. Because AI will determine how we experience technology, how we interact with it, how we speak with it, how we exchange information with it, and at the very end, how much we trust it. To really understand the influence of artificial intelligence, it's worth taking a closer look. What kinds of AI are existing? Because ChatGPT is not the end of it all. What boundaries, what challenges do we have, and what aspects of the future will fundamentally change our relationship with technology? So welcome to a new episode of the Human Technology Podcast. And I hope I'm not underlying the so-called Dunning-Kruger effect here. I'm not definitely an expert in AI. I'm an expert in the relationship between humans and technology, and AI is redefining technology at the moment. It's redefining smartphones, it's redefining smart homes, it's redefining production places, it is redefining, of course, cars. And from this point of view, from the HMI, the human-machine interface focus, I want to have a look today at artificial intelligence, and I want to talk about three things. What kinds of AI are out there beyond ChatGPT? Number two, six limitations and challenges of artificial intelligence. And number three future aspects of artificial intelligence. To make it clear, AI is no longer a promise for the future. It is there. It is reality. It is transforming our work, our lives, our technologies at a pace sometimes that was hardly imaginable just a few years ago. And we are in the beginning of this hockey stick development in technology in general, in AI even more. And while generative AI like ChatGPT dominates the headlines, it is worth broadening our views. What potential risks, what potentials, what developments are visible on the horizon? So let's start with the fact that generative AI is only the tip of the iceberg. It's ChatGPT is not the entire AI thing. So few systems have shaped the public perception of AI as strongly as ChatGPT. It's a text-based assistant, and you can write essays, you can craft poems, you can generate software code. Things that were unimaginable 5, 6, 7 years ago. But as impressive as this development is, generative AI is not the entirety of artificial intelligence. It's a small, visible part of the iceberg. And from my point of view, it again is an HMI phenomenon. AI has been around many, many years before, when we looked at the big bookstore or the big shopping store at the internet, when we try to find information with the search engines on the internet. Then we used AI without being aware because it was not visible. It had no HMI. And what ChatGPT managed is they created a super simple, straightforward human-machine interface. You just type in one sentence, you type in a question, you type in a request, and it gives you an answer. Whether this is good or not, whether this is correct or not, is a totally different story. But from the HMI point of view, it can hardly be any easier. And so the HMI created the public awareness. Just to let you know, I mean, you're listening to this podcast, so you will be aware about the importance of human-machine interfaces, of usability, of user experience. And this is a typical point where things became visible, easier, usable with a simple HMI solution. Let's go back to generative AI. It is a system, well, these are systems that create content, text, images, video, music, and they are based on enormous amounts of data, learning algorithms that identify patterns and recombine them into something, let's call it new. And they're excellent creative tools. They're capable of sketching ideas, providing drafts, automating repetitive work. So they are extremely helpful. But generative AI is reactive. It delivers results based on inputs. But generative AI, like ChatGPT, has no goals, has no context, has no why. It's a powerful tool, but it's not the complete representation of artificial intelligence. So what are the other ones? What are the other HMI, kinds of HMI I'm talking about? So predictive HMI. Models that forecasts, for example, machine failures and predictive maintenance, that optimize maintenance schedules, yeah, that can predict this aircraft engine will fail in the next 100 working hours. And then you know, okay, it is that the aircraft is at a workshop anyway, so we can repair it. We can do it predictively and not wait until it really breaks. And at the end, it can help you to reduce cost and failure rates and dropout rates. All of these are important aspects of predictive AI. Agentic AI are systems that autonomously coordinate tasks, make decisions, and that goes beyond generating content. They operate as digital agents. If I have a problem, a complex problem, I can feed that into an agentic AI, and it will not, like ChatGPT give me an answer right away, but it will work, it will search. And when one day there comes a comes a solution for my problem, for example, on a travel schedule, there is a new flight that I can use that is much better than the others, it will let me know. Another aspect is edge AI. I will go into this deeper a little later, but AI works usually in clouds, on servers, somewhere anonymous machines that are somewhere on the globe and nobody knows where data is flowing. Edge AI is working directly on the end device. And this enables, first of all, real-time reactions. It's much faster, reduces latencies, and it improves data privacy. I don't have a real information about this one, but I can imagine that edge AI will not learn as fast as cloud AI. Because if you have a cloud AI and 1 million users put in their feedback and ask questions, and then that will be much, much faster in learning than an edge AI that only is fed by me, my behavior. So I'm just a one person instance that interacts with the AI and that stimulates the algorithm to do something. I try to find out whether this idea is true or not. I'm not really clear about this. Let me know if you have any more information about the speed in learning between edge AI and cloud AI. Context aware AI, these are applications that don't just process data, but also understand the situation or context and respond to that. For example, in smart homes or vehicles, if I drive into a city and my car knows, okay, I have never been here before, I will it's bad weather, it's bad sight, the gas tank of my car, the battery is very low, so I'm pretty much under stress. If my car understands this, it can support me, it can calm me down, and says, yes, we'll reach your hotel, I know the way, and there is a charger in front of the hotel. No problem, Peter, just cool down, and by the way, I will not give you any phone calls or messages anymore until we have reached our destination. Opposed to when I drive on a sunny day on an open German autobahn and can sit back and relax and maybe listen to some nice podcast. Just to let you know, the generative AI is spectacular. It's visible. We can use it. But it's just the tip of a much, much larger movement. We're seeing the tip of the iceberg here, which is a good thing. That we have it, but we see it at all. But on the other hand, we should always be aware. What are typical applications of different HMIs? The idea of a universal super AI that will one day master everything perfectly, smoothly, flawless, that is misleading. The idea that, now let's mention that ChatGPT is great in rewriting and a LinkedIn post I'm not really sure whether it has the right tone, and I'm not a native English speaker, so it tweaks it a bit, makes it better. But ChatGPT will not be able to drive my car. It just cannot do it, but I can do it. I can tweak my LinkedIn post, and I can sign up and go out and drive my car. So what we will have in the future is a landscape of highly specialized AI systems, each optimized for specific applications. Like a tool in a workshop, you will not use a hammer to put a screw into a piece of wood, to drill a hole into some piece of metal. You will not use a hammer for this. You will use a hammer to get a nail into the wall. So, for example, medicine like DeepMind, AlphaFold is one of the big AIs, and they have cracked the protein folding, revolutionizing drug discovery. Diagnostic AIs such as Path AI, They support radiologists and pathologists by identifying tumors and on scans more reliably. Yeah, other systems, personalized therapy plans in oncology or chronic disease management. So there you can see, and then these AIs will never be able to write you a poem, which other AIs can do. Finance. Yeah, banks use AI for fraud detection by analyzing large patterns of transaction in real time. Scalable Capital or Wealthfront are two names that create automated, tailored investment strategies. And risk models on the bank side, they assess the credit worthiness faster and more precisely than traditional methods. In manufacturing and in industry 4.0, so predictive maintenance, I talked about this, like the Siemens MindSphere or the PTC ThingsWorks, predict failures before they occur. They analyze huge amounts of data, changes in the noise behavior, in the vibration behavior, in the startup behavior of certain mechanical parts, and they can predict, okay, this one will last for another 100 hours. Please exchange it. It will not last any longer. But you can exchange it before it fails. Production lines adapt flexibly to new product variants. So you fit in, and then if you need some new materials, maybe they can even order without letting you know. And say, okay, I need a couple of new screws to predict produce this specific new car. And then they learn to self-calibrate, they learn to optimize workflows. So yeah, there is a lot in manufacturing. Retail marketing, recommending engines from Amazon. We all know this. We order a book for a friend, which is a children's book, and suddenly you get suggestions for tons of children's books. Yeah, that's not super smart, but we have experienced all this. In Netflix, it's pretty much the same. Newer systems goes even further. So they are automating customer dialogues. Yeah, that's conversational commerce. That's how it's called. They may be even adjusting prices dynamically, or creating personalized product environments in an e-commerce. Energy smart grids, steering the entire smart grid kind of thing. Creative industry. Yeah, beyond generative AI for texts and images, music, specialized tools are emerging for video production, 3D modeling, gaming. And again, there is no one AI for creativity, but the multitude of tools, each tailored to a specific medium and application. And this diversity makes one thing clear: in future, companies and even individual departments will use their own customized AIs. So they will have sets of artificial intelligence tools they will use to solve their specific problems. Yeah, the PR department, the public relations, might deploy a specialized writing AI, while the production department uses predictive maintenance, and HR, the human resources, uses AI to select job applicants. Yeah, these are all different tools that are used by different people in different contexts. So to bring this one to a point, generative AI like ChatGPT is fascinating, but it's only a small part of the story. If we focus on generative AI only, we are missing the true scale of transformation that is possible and that will happen. AI will change our lives, not through creative content, but also through autonomous systems, invisible background optimization, smart devices, and specialized solutions. Let's move on. Number two, 6 boundaries and challenges of AI. Number one, artificial intelligence as a job killer and a job creator. Will artificial intelligence destroy jobs? Certainly, a lot of things will be automated, from routine office work to complex data analysis. But just as hunters were essential for millennia and today they only exist in niches, many current professions will disappear or change dramatically. At the same time, entirely new roles will emerge. AI trainers, data ethicists, hardware optimizers. Historically, every technological revolution has created more jobs than it destroyed. Of course, certain things fall apart. Today we have taxi drivers, and they will go away, and they will be replaced by automated cars. We see this already in a couple of cities in the US. That is happening. On the other side, taxi drivers were invented when horses were taken out of daily traffic in the early 20th century. Yeah, until then, horses and the guys riding or steering horses were the ones that made public transport possible, and suddenly it was people driving combustion engine cars. Yeah? And so it were gonna be replacements. Second point, AI and copyright. That is a big one. I record this one a day after I returned from my vacation in Greece. And I bought me a travel guide. Found out it's not as useful as asking ChatGPT, hey, I am in this village right now, what can I do here? And then ChatGPT gave me an answer, and I rechecked that one with a travel guide I bought. And usually it was correct, and sometimes even better than the travel guide. And on the other hand, where is AI, where is a ChatGPT having this information from? Basically because it reads, it checks, it analyzes data, texts, books written by people. And whenever you write a book, and you know I am an author, I'm writing books, I would hate it that somebody uses my content without maybe not even letting me know or not even mentioning me. Yeah, that is okay for me. I don't want to make any money, but I have my copyrights on this one, my thoughts, and I put them out. And this is a hot topic in AI. And Google already used content from publishers like the New York Times without paying. Yeah? And they have been sued for this. And AI systems, what search engines did 25 years ago, AI systems repeat this pattern. So they are training their algorithms on copyrighted material. And publishers and authors are pushing back. Is this legitimate? We may find a solution for this one, but it will slow down the process. Number three, computing power. The future of AI depends heavily on computing resources. The software part is a smaller part in AI. It becomes more and more clear that AI is a hardware technology, that AI is depending on hardware improvements. After decades of software-driven innovation, the focus is shifting to hardware now. And AI requires specialized chips, GPUs, neural processors, completely new architectures. And this for the first time in more than 30 years, PCs and tablet architectures are undergoing fundamental changes at the moment, as conventional processors will no longer be the best possible solutions to run AI algorithms. So AI is driving a hardware revolution, which will probably be as transformative as the PC revolution in the 80s was. Problem number four, energy consumption. AI is a double-edged sword in energy. On one hand, it enables massive savings. We can optimize the heating in smartphones, charging of cars, intelligent traffic management. You can reach highest levels of efficiency in industrial production. On the other hand, AI consumes enormous amounts of energy itself. Whether it's the training itself, whether you have to train large models, whether you run real-time systems. So we end up, as far as energy consumption is concerned, with a paradox. We must spend energy to save energy. And the challenge is finding the sweet spot where the benefits justify the energy footprint. And I have no idea how we will get there and how far we are already on this way. Number five, data protection and regulation. So privacy and regulation will shape AI's future, and it will vary globally. The US very much relies on markets and self-regulation. China is fully on state control, while the European Union AI Act seeks something like a third way in between these two extremes, combining fundamental rights protection with innovation. So having a certain amount of regulation steering the entire thing, but not fully controlling it. The strength of the European Union's AI Act is that they have a clear risk classification and binding rules for all players in Europe. This can turn out midterm into a strong point, into an advantage. Everybody believes it's slow innovation and initial disadvantages in global competition. My belief is at the very end, everyone will have something similar. And if we learn in Europe how to work with this, we will be in a pole position when others introduce regulations on artificial intelligence. Number six of the problems in AI biases and reliability. To put it very straight, nonsense in, nonsense out. If you feed an algorithm as nonsense data with biased data, with wrong data, it will give you wrong replies. And there is no instance controlling this. And this makes it not only biased, but also unreliable. And this is probably one of AI's greatest, biggest, most obvious weaknesses. The problem is not so much the algorithms, but more the data they are trained on. Human-made data carrying our prejudices and our distortions with them will be amplified through AI algorithms. And because AI optimizes for probability and not for fairness and not for truth. Yeah, it's very probable that things are like A, and then I will make an A plus and A plus 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 out of this, because I think that's true. I mean, the AI is not thinking, but this is the way the algorithms work. They took what the probabilities are and they amplify that. And if you put in wrong things, they will produce even more wrong things as an output because they amplify them. So existing inequalities are not just mirrored, but magnified. The challenge here is to improve data quality, data diversity, and build mechanisms that detect and correct biases without undermining the core functionality. All right, let's move on to number three. Where is the journey going? What is the future of artificial intelligence? So we are seeing movements at the moment. We are seeing developments at a breathtaking speed. What seems like science fiction a few years ago is everyday life today. Automated text generation, image generation, voice assistants that are personalized. The real question is not what AI can already do, but where is it going to? And I have three things here. And truth may prove me wrong in a very short time frame. But let's start with them. Number one, from generative AI to agentic AI. From a tool, a simple tool I use, to a complete set of tools that act for me. Generative AI is the most popular as we have it. Systems that write text and paint pictures and compose music. They're reactive. They're reacting to inputs. They're responding to something I give them in, either as a data set for training or a question I'm asking them. The next stage here is agentic AI, systems that pursue goals autonomously. They handle tasks, they make contextual decisions. Yeah? So for example, an agentic AI would just not draft a presentation, but also source the data, schedule meetings, and update the file automatically for me. AI shifts from a passive tool to an active actor in work and daily life. Number two, AI transforms the internet from the web of humans to the web of machines. The internet was created as a communication network for people. Today, more and more traffic runs machine to machine on the internet. Sensors, Internet of Things devices, automated systems, they all exchange data without any human intervention. And AI fuels this shift. It filters, it analyzes, controls devices and all the communication. The results will be an internet where humans increasingly consume services orchestrated by machines behind the scenes. For businesses, this means visibility will require optimizing not only for human users but for machine audiences. Search algorithm, digital assistants, autonomous agents, all that will need to undergo this change. And today, the majority of internet traffic is created by humans for humans, and we have a growing amount of machine-to-machine data exchanges. And that will grow in the future. Second one, and of course, I have to say this, human-centered AI, keeping people in the loop, in the core, in the focus. Despite all the automation, one principle is crucial. AI must not work against humans. Full stop. AI must work for humans. And human-centered AI means designing systems that extend human abilities, that are intuitive to use, and that respect the context of use that we have, and respect personalities, respect personal beliefs and needs and abilities. This includes clear interfaces, transparent decision-making, and safeguarding autonomy. And safeguarding privacy. These are core points for me that we need to have in focus. Only if AI earns trust and proves reliability, it will gain a broader acceptance. So the focus lies on maximum automation and more smart collaboration between humans and machines, but keeping the human with all its dreams and wishes, abilities, limits in the core, in the focus of the development. All right. So far on this one, the journey of AI is leading us into a world where systems don't just deliver answers, but they act, where the internet is dominated by machines, and where we must ensure humans stay in the center. Agentic AI, machine-to-machine internet, human-centered AI are not contradictions, but they are building blocks of a new digital reality. All right, this takes us to the end of this episode of the Human Technology Podcast. I talked about three topics around artificial intelligence. What kinds of AI are out there? Is ChatGPT already everything? No, it is not. You all know this now. I talked about six limitations and challenges that AI faces, and I talked about three future aspects of AI as of today. Maybe next month I will tell you something different. To summarize, artificial intelligence is far more than ChatGPT. It shapes mobility, it shapes works, daily life with opportunities, risks, and challenges. And what really matters at the very end is how we design AI as a tool, as an actor, as a partner, in a way that keeps humans at the center. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. Varun Unknown Exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.